Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning. Andrea Bernstein, piloting today for Brian Lehrer. Governor Patterson and the legislative leadership in Albany are still trying to cut deals to come up with a budget that's already 2.5 months late. The Senate and Assembly passed the 11th budget extender on Monday. Included in that extender bill was $325 million worth of cuts to mental health and human services. In last week's extender bill, there were $775 million worth of cuts to health care. So how close is Albany to filling the $9.2 billion budget gap? They're still talking about big cuts to school funding, economic development, public safety, and transportation. So what's been cut already and what is still on the chopping block? We're going to be trying to sort that out in this segment. Joining me first is WNYC reporter Cindy Rodriguez. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Andrea.
Cindy's been looking into the most recent cuts to mental health and human services, and in a minute we'll be joined by Frank Morrow, Executive Director of the Fiscal Policy Institute, to talk about the rest of the budget. First, Cindy, welcome back to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thanks, Andrea.
So the $325 million worth of cuts to mental health and social services, what are you hearing about where those cuts will land?
Well, Andrea, so it's turning out to be $175 million on the social services side, and which is actually less than what was initially expected. You know, in the governor's executive budget back at the beginning of the year, he had zeroed out dozens of programs for everything from job programs to domestic violence programs to programs for young moms who need to learn parenting skills. But in this most recent extender bill that passed, many of the programs got at least a partial restoration. The state says that's because it was able to access more flexible federal funds. So, for instance, that means that the Summer Youth Employment Program in New York City is getting just under half its budget restored. Now, that's a program that employed more than 50,000 kids last year, but the need is actually much, much greater. About twice as many kids actually applied for jobs. There was also partial restoration of money for funding alternative to prison programs for juvenile delinquents. Now, this is important because the state
That was on the chopping block for elimination entirely.
Exactly, it was. And it's getting $6 million back, which is a little bit more than half its budget. But this is important because, as you might know, the state has been trying to close some upstate youth prisons. And if they're going to do that, they're going to need somewhere to send these kids. So this is needed.
So what will be, I mean, are there any programs that will be entirely eliminated through this $325 million worth of cuts?
It doesn't look right now like anything's going to be entirely eliminated, but some things are losing a substantial amount of money. Like, for instance, there is this small program that's taking a pretty significant hit. It's for a safe house for teenage prostitutes, for instance. And back in 2008, there was this push to treat teenage prostitutes more like victims than criminals, and they passed this legislation that required the creation of this safe house for teenage prostitutes. Initially, it was supposed to get $10 million. Now it's only getting $3 million, for instance.
So what are the people who are running these programs telling you about how they're going to adapt to this, you know, diminished funding?
Well, actually, there is one group that I've been hearing a lot from, and this is child welfare advocates. Now, in the governor's, in this budget, $21 million was cut for child welfare agencies in state funding. Well, that's maybe a small portion. It's on top of city cuts that are already pretty substantial. So these programs are already having to cut back the number of families that they serve. And these are what are called child abuse prevention programs. This is where families are sent if they have a child welfare case. They're not going to take the kids and put them in foster care, but they do still need some interventions and some services.
So when you're talking about, so the budget or the extender that was voted on Monday, these are actual cuts in the state budget. This is not something that's under discussion anymore.
Right,
but when
exactly.
it comes to the city budget is not yet passed,
exactly, right?
So it's unclear what is going to happen
That is true, but many of these cuts, these agencies are already being told you have to lower your numbers. So they're already starting to close out cases, and they're already starting to see the effects.
All right, let's bring into this discussion Frank Morrow, the director of the Fiscal Policy Institute. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, good morning.
Frank, tell us, I'm sort of intrigued by watching the budget process this year, because as these cuts get voted into the extender bills, which are so named because they're basically extending last year's budget, if I have that right.
Not exactly.
But, not exactly. Okay.
Yeah, in fact, what the governor is doing is consciously stopping that and presenting the extender bills on the basis of what he's proposing. So that's sort of the innovation that he came up with several weeks ago and started doing.
So when these bills are voted up or down, and they've so far been voted up, although it's becoming harder and harder each week. So these cuts are going to happen, right? I mean, this is not, usually we sort of get the whole budget as one package, and there's a sort of end of year roundup: who won, who lost, where the money came from, where it's not going. But now it's sort of these things are happening, but piecemeal, right?
Yeah, I mean that's exactly correct. In other words, the governor in the 10th and 11th. Extender bills, one passed on June 7th and one on June 14th, what he did, he combined temporary funding for the government generally with appropriations for the full year on June 7th, for example, for health care, and then on June 14th for social services and mental hygiene programs, mental health, mental retardation, and alcoholism and substance abuse. And so the bright side, you could say, that some of the providers see is that those fields no longer need the weekly extenders. What the governor did is he included the full year appropriation along with the extender for 1 week of other things. So the local county and New York City providers of services to the mentally ill or alcoholism programs or whatever, they're not dependent on these weekly extenders anymore. But the good news is that their budget is in place, and to the extent the state has the cash, the money can begin to flow, and there's concerns about the cash flow.
Well, before we sort of go on about the details of the cuts, let me just ask WNYC reporter Cindy Rodriguez. Frank Morrow was saying, okay, well, at least there's certainty. Are you hearing from the social service providers that you speak with sighs of relief that, at least now we know what we're dealing with, or are you hearing mostly like we are so upset that we are getting cut?
I haven't heard relief yet, but honestly, I think people are still trying to digest what exactly this will mean. Until the city sort of solidifies their budget, there are still a lot of unknowns.
And Frank Morrow, what was cut in health care exactly the week before this week?
Well, it goes on for pages and pages, but some of the big things that hit the hospitals and the hospital health, now called the Healthcare Association of New York State, has posted on its website hospital by hospital impacts. But for example, out of the $775 million, about $70 million was for a reduction in reimbursement rates. The way they refer to that is elimination of the trend factor. The trend factor is an annual adjustment. It was supposed to be 1.7%. There won't be any adjustment. So the hospitals will get $70 million less than was counted on.
So what does that mean if you're a patient in a hospital? I mean, what is your experience of these cuts?
Well, it goes together with other things. So that and the other cuts to the hospitals, which the hospitals estimate at being about $272 million on a full-year basis for the hospitals alone, not counting the loss of federal matching funds, because Medicaid is matched by the federal government, and particularly now by a favorable rate, it's going to mean less money for the hospitals. And what the hospitals say is that even before this, over the last 3 years, they've sustained four or five rounds of cuts, and that it's reaching the point of diminishing returns. And in effect, Medicaid is a stream of revenue, just like insurance reimbursements are to the hospitals, that allows them to balance their budgets. And there aren't Medicaid nurses and non-Medicaid nurses. The different streams of revenue go into the hospital budget and allows them to maintain a quality of care. So in effect, if the hospitals are correct that it's reaching the point where they can't wring additional efficiencies out of the system, it's going to result in downsizing of support staff and nurses and nursing hours and coverage rates. And so I think the problem with the health care cuts is that they can ultimately affect the quality care, not just for Medicaid recipients, but for all of us.
Well, not to open up this whole, you know, sort of can of worms, I mean, which is a giant one, so I'm a little hesitant to go there. But I do want to say with, you know, New York hospitals, I mean, it's come up, and Andrew Cuomo recently raised it when he announced his candidacy for governor, that New York is just more generous than everybody else. So are we just sort of recalibrating New York to be in line with the rest of the country here?
I don't think so. I think that calibrating New York to be in line with the rest of the country is sort of missing the target, because I think what you have to do is to look at the expenditures per recipient, per eligible person, not compared to the nation as a whole, but to compare it to the other northeastern states. I mean, you're not going to make the you know, the cost of living and the salary schedules in New York the same as Utah. In Utah, they worry about the fact that they have low per capita income. We have high per capita income and high costs here. What my analysis shows is that except for Pennsylvania, which does have lower per recipient or per eligible person Medicaid costs than we do, that New York is virtually the same as all of the other New York, you know, New Jersey and New England states. And so the reason why, you know, Medicaid, it's really a crazy concept, but it's been used by the governor, Medicaid costs per capita. When you say that Medicaid costs per capita in New York are such and such percent above the national average, what you're in effect saying is that New York has high poverty population per capita. So we have reimbursement rates to hospitals that are like the other northeastern states, but we have a poverty rate that's like the southern states. None of the other northeastern states have poverty rates like New York. So New York has this mix of great wealth and great poverty. And I think the point is missed when it says that on a per capita basis, we somehow should be able to come into line with the nation as a whole. I think that the goal needs to be in line with the rest of the Northeast on expenditures per recipient.
All right, let's move on to, because Governor Patterson is actually speaking right now, but Assembly Speaker Shelley Silver said earlier today that there's a deal on cuts in economic development, public safety, and transportation. And I'm wondering, you know, what you know about what is under discussion in those areas.
Yeah, I don't think the cuts are very large in those areas. In fact, in economic development, the governor, for the most part, was proposing changing the programs. For example, one of the things in his budget that he was proposing, and shouldn't even have to propose this, is to allow the scheduled expiration of the Empire Zones program, which costs about $600 million a year, to go into effect, to allow it to expire as scheduled. Now, that doesn't save us $600 million this year, because companies that are in the program can age out, so to speak, and it's a 10-year program, and so companies that are in their second year will still have 8 years left, but gradually it brings savings to the state. But the governor proposed replacing that with a new jobs tax credit that he calls the Excelsior Jobs Program. And while the Empire Zones program would be phasing out, this program would be phasing in at $50 million a year, 50, 100, 150 over the next several years, growing to 250 per year. So I think what remains to be seen is what the legislature does in terms of the governor's adds as well as his cuts, because in economic development, while he was proposing some cuts, he was, for the most part, proposing compensating ads.
So that's probably why they have a deal, because yeah, it wasn't that tough a decision. Public safety and also transportation also? We're talking about minimal cuts here?
Yeah, I think so. There are some, you know.
What's on the table?
Well, the big cuts that are still in the governor's plan that he's counting on to balance the budget. You know the number that they use is $9.2 billion, but that includes $692 million of cuts that have already been in place from what they did in December. So the gap they have to close is $8.5 billion. Some of the big things in that $8.5 billion that they haven't tackled yet is within the $8.5 billion is $1.6 billion of school aid cuts.
I want to just get my head around these cuts, because I know that the word cuts is one of those subjective words, which,
right.
may be surprising. But every year that I have paid attention to Albany budgets, a cut has always been used by someone who doesn't want it. When they say cuts, they are talking about cuts from the projected budget. And for people who are supporting cuts, they talk about cuts from last year to try and make their numbers look better. So what are we actually talking about in terms of education cuts? And I just sort of say, as a sort of point of information to people, that, I mean, education is one of the biggest pieces of the budget. So it's almost impossible to get to $9 billion without touching it at all.
Well, the $9 billion of gap closing actions involves both expenditure side cuts, revenue actions on an ongoing basis, federal relief they're counting on, and one-time actions. But the question you ask on school aid is critical in this year's debate, because for the real campaign for fiscal equity aid, which is called foundation aid, it's a cut from the previous year. So what the governor proposed last...
So less actual absolute dollars than this budget year.
What the governor did last year, but the federal money was able to bring it back to the prior year's level, he proposed slowing down the implementation of the campaign for fiscal equity settlement, stretching it out from 4 years to 8 years. The legislature went along with stretching it out to 7 years. He proposed freezing foundation aid that's about 80% of all the aid, and it's the main operating aid, and it's based on the settlement of the campaign for fiscal equity case in 2007. It's targeted primarily to the needy districts, even though everybody gets foundation aid. It's much more per pupil in the needy districts. So he proposed freezing foundation aid, which is about 80% of the aid, letting the formulas for for expense-based aids, which are not as targeted to needy districts, to run. Then he proposed, across both of those, a $1.1 billion deficit reduction assessment, meaning that 80% of the $1.1 billion, let's say $850 million, would have come out of foundation aid, and it would have been a cut over the previous year. But last year, they had enough federal stimulus aid for education to use the stimulus aid to eliminate his across-the-board deficit reduction assessment. So the bottom line at the end of the year last year, for the school year we're just finishing now, is that expense-based aids like transportation and high-cost special education, which are about 20% of the total, got their increases, but foundation aid was frozen at the 2008-2009 level. Now this year, they don't have sufficient federal funds so far. So the governor this year proposed the same thing: freeze foundation aid, let the expense-based aid formulas run, and then do a $2.1 billion deficit reduction assessment across the board. He then said, we only have about $700 to $800 million of federal stimulus aid for education this year, so we're going to restore 34% of the deficit reduction assessment, bringing it to $1.4 billion.
All right, Frank Morrow, hang on, because I don't want people to get sort of lost in a trail of numbers here. So give us your sort of best assessment on where this comes out. And it does sound like any way you cut it, schools across New York are looking at, you know, cutting activities, larger classes, really having to find ways to deal with this. Do I have that right?
Well, I think so, because the net cut is $1.4 billion. 80% of that is a year-to-year cut, a cut from last year in foundation aid of 80% of $1.4 billion. The Assembly has proposed restoring $579 million of the $1.4 billion. The Senate hasn't proposed anything. There will be real year-to-year cuts in school districts with large amounts of foundation aid like New York City.
So even in the best-case scenario from the point of views of schools, there will be quite large cuts in education. You don't foresee any other outcome.
Well, the president has asked Congress for a $23 billion extension of the stimulus aid for education, but that does not look likely at this point. So Mayor Bloomberg, in his budget, is counting on a $493 million cut in state aid, a cut from the previous year. And he originally proposed staffing reductions of about 6,400. He has recently floated an alternative to his budget, which would freeze salaries for 2 years and in lieu of the education layoffs. But the needy school districts around the state that were supposed to be helped by the Campaign for Fiscal Equity Settlement are going to see year-to-year cuts in their foundation aid, even if the assembly's restoration is adopted.
All right, and we need to end it there. Thank you so, so much, Frank Morrow, the director of the Fiscal Policy Institute. Thanks to WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez for filling us in on social service and mental health cuts. And we will continue this discussion as the budget drama continues to play out in Albany. When we come back, we'll talk about whether women are going to take over the world and get ready for the Immigrant World Cup, Mexico versus France. Yes.